Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Michigan's playoff game in the Rose Bowl against Alabama is 3 weeks away, but we start looking ahead to the matchup. We also try to answer a difficult question. Who is Michigan's team MVP? There's recruiting and transfer news and some basketball happenings as well. That's all coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be with you here. Monday, December 11th in the middle of the afternoon. It was just last week. I was throwing out the Kansas City Bowl presented by the Eras Tour and the Go Buck Naked Chicago Bowl presented by Duluth Trading Company and the Miami Beach Coleman Inflatable Hot Tub Bowl, all of which were made up. And you guys did a pretty good job sorting those out. I heard from a lot of listeners that enjoyed that segment. So yes, thank you. Thank you to our listeners. We've got some real stuff to talk about on this episode. And yeah, we're still a few weeks out from the actual game. Haven't talked to anyone on the Michigan side since our last podcast. That'll probably change this week. But there's been some news. You know, the transfer portal is open now. How has it affected Michigan so far?
Yeah, it's been open for about a week now. First few days, it was really quiet, almost eerily quiet on the Michigan side, because typically with the way it goes, you know, after the Big Ten championship game the last few years, the coaches have taken time off. They leave. They go in recruiting. So the players don't have a lot of time to talk to the coaches to kind of let them know what they're thinking in terms of their future and transfers and everything else. So I think it took a little bit longer than some other programs. But yeah, Michigan had its first player enter the transfer portal today, December 11th, as we're recording this. Running back C.J. Stokes. He's a name that maybe some hardcore fans are familiar with. He played quite a bit last year as a true freshman, 11 games, as a matter of fact, rushed a little over 200 yards and a touchdown. He was part of the running back rotation, and this year it never happened. He played in the first two games, got a handful of carries, and really hasn't been seen since. I haven't gotten a clear answer on what happened, whether it was injury or he just made the decision prematurely early this year that he was going to transfer and he's being held out. I don't know. But nonetheless, CJ is going to transfer. He announced it today on social media. Program spokesman confirmed it. I guess not a surprise, you know, when you look at the depth chart and the way things are shaping out at that position right now. But I can confidently say this is probably not going to be the only transfer out of Michigan this year. I mean, remember, this team is preparing for a bowl game. Decisions are being made, and maybe some players are maybe a little more hesitant to decide right now because there's so much still on the line and to play for. But nonetheless, it's transfer portal season, and Michigan certainly isn't precluded from it.
You can't really wait, though. If you're, you know, it remains open, but it's roster spots fill, especially depending on what position you are. We remember this with Alan Bowman last season as a quarterback. You know, every team only has one that's on the field at one time. So, you know, he felt that he couldn't limit his opportunities by waiting. So he kind of double dipped and he had entered the portal while still staying with the team. I'm not sure how many guys can necessarily pull that off, but we'll see. As far as other candidates, Ryan, who are you looking at this roster and thinking, okay, here's a guy that might also be leaning towards joining CJ Stokes in the portal?
Yeah, I mean, whenever it comes to the portal, there's kind of a formula or like kind of criteria that you can kind of go by and maybe judge like, oh, this would make sense for this player to transfer. And to me, it's guys that have been waiting in the wings a little bit that were former highly rated recruits that haven't really seen the field very often in their first couple of years. So if you go by that, I mean, there's some players like receiver Darius Clemens. I mean, he was potentially thought of as maybe of a breakout player this year, especially with how thin Michigan was at receiver. And he hasn't really played much, especially in Big Ten play. He was a top 150 recruit. I mean, but like you said, the centers with two years in a row, they brought in a transfer that has immediately started right away. And I mean, we've heard a lot of good things about Greg Crippen, but he's waited his turn now for a while. And I don't know. I mean, probably a bummer for him to continue to be jumped on the depth chart. And you have Raheem Anderson that's also in that conversation. If you go to quarterbacks, seem to transfer more frequently than other positions. And I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with JJ yet, but there's, I mean, Davis Warren, he got put on scholarship this year, but it and maybe thought of as the number two heading into the season. But now it seems like that's been more of Jack Tuttle. Even Alex Orji's kind of come in there a little bit and offered a different look as a running option. So that's another one too. And then maybe like a linebacker like Jaden Hood. He was also a four-star recruit, and just we heard a lot about him in spring camp this year. But again, with how well the other linebackers have been playing, hasn't really had much of an opportunity. But again, with all the other linebackers right now, they could all leave to go to the NFL, or at least Michael Barrett and Junior Colson too. So it's tough to say at this point, and who knows? I mean, I don't want to say like this guy's probably going to transfer, but it's just to me what would make sense from the outside looking in, those players.
Davis Warren was the first name that came to my mind when you guys brought this topic up. Keep in mind, he hasn't dressed in weeks now. There's a point there where, yeah, we thought he might have been like the backup, but he just, it hasn't materialized. And again, I don't know if it's an injury or what's going on there, but the fact that he hasn't played a ton, and you know, he still has a couple years of eligibility left, would signal to me that he'd be a perfect candidate for this. We'll obviously see as things go forward, but he was the guy that jumped out to me right away when you guys mentioned it.
Yeah, we're not speculating on what guys might be thinking. We're not pushing guys out the door, but I think Ryan did a good job of explaining that there is almost a formula to this. You can look at their recruiting ranking, their playing time, and their position on the depth chart, and you know, kind of add those things up, and it kind of spits out whether you know a good percentage of players that meet those criteria often end up in the portal. But again, with a quarterback, you know, you're behind Tuttle, he's gone. McCarthy could be too. So like that, it, you know, exactly how things play out for Michigan there will affect, you know, these other players' decisions, as well who they potentially bring in from the portal, right? I mean, it's a revolving door, so guys will be coming in too.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I've been told that they are looking to be pretty active in the transfer portal this year too, just because the recruiting class hasn't maybe taken off as many expected it to. From, I mean, they had like 25, 26 commits before the season even started and are still at 26 at this point. So they haven't added too many during the seasons. And I've been told that, yeah, they're going to be trying to hit the portal hard, especially at some key positions. And that's including quarterback too. I mean, it's still early and you never know, but there's a ton of big name quarterbacks in there. Obviously, you have Jaden Davis, a four-star top 100 quarterback commit coming in as a freshman next year. He's set to enroll early. So, I mean, there could be some departures, but there will also be some new faces in that quarterback room, I would guess, by the time next season starts.
Yeah, on that note, too, J.J. McCarthy's decision is going to, I think, be key in all of this. I mean, it's going to be the domino for a lot of these guys in terms of whether they decide to come back or not. You know, especially at the quarterback position. If J.J.'s back, then you're going to see quarterbacks, you know, clearly, you know, not be as high on Michigan just because the playing time isn't there, at least right away. But long term, it's a question for Michigan at the quarterback position. Who is that next guy behind J.J. McCarthy? You know, we've seen bouts of Alex Orji and Jane Denegal. They look good at times. I think each has their own strength and are different, better areas. But I don't know who that next guy is in line. That's I think the more interesting question. And it's one we'll probably, you know, go into later as the off season, you know, gets here, but we're not at that point yet. I know JJ hasn't decided, you know, his stock isn't probably as high as it was maybe a couple of months ago where his name was coming up as a potential, like, top 10, top 15 pick. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. He's more like fringe first rounder at this point. And again, that's subject to change as well. I mean, if he comes out and plays fantastic in the Rose Bowl and Michigan wins a national championship, that certainly would boost his stock as well. So JJ's, I think, the thing that stirs this drink here. Not only that, but maybe Donovan Edwards, if he decides to come back, and maybe some of these linemen. So there's a lot going on here. McCarthy will be the key to watch in terms of guys, whether they decide to come back or not.
I guess the unfortunate thing for Michigan too is without knowing what McCarthy's going to do, it's going to be hard for them to bring in a top rated transfer guy at the quarterback position with the uncertainty of McCarthy's future. I mean, if you're looking at like a Dante Moore, who Michigan was a finalist for him coming out of high school, played in the Detroit area at Detroit Martin Luther King. And yeah, it seems like Michigan definitely does have some interest there, but would he come in and sit behind JJ for another year before he gets to maybe potentially take over the reins? And then you're battling Jaden Davis in his second year too. So it's teams are looking to fill that spot now because their seasons are essentially over. Michigan is not. So that they could be at a disadvantage there as far as landing some transfers.
And I think we'll get an answer relatively quickly. I think we'll get a decision like quarterbacks. If we see a big name quarterback decide to, you know, commit to Michigan, I'm not saying that's going to definitively tell you McCarthy's leaving, but that it may signal something. So I think we'll find something more there before we find out an answer from JJ, like on the record, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sort of reverse engineer it there. But yeah, if you recruit well and you develop your talent, you know, you can one, absorb losses to the portal a little better than other programs, and two, use it to kind of supplement you know, the roster or plug holes. And you just saw Michigan do that this past offseason. Like, did they you know, did they necessarily, they had a good offensive line, but they solidified it, you know, with Nugent and Henderson. They had a tight end in Colson Loveland, but they got AJ Barner too. You know, they had pass rushers, but they got Josiah Stewart. You know, they have good, you know, defensive backs, but they got Josh Wallace. It's like they added these little pieces that have been so helpful. It'd be interesting to see how it works out this year. But, you know, that was a focus of the coaching staff, certainly this past week, in addition to just regular high school recruiting. You know, this is a major game that they're getting ready for, but you got a month to do it. You can spend some of their time, and you have to, you know, recruiting as well.
What's going on, everyone? Ben Raven with MLive's Detroit Lions beat here. Just want to point in the direction of MLive's new Dungeon of Doom Insider Tech service. Sign up now for a 14-day free trial. And then after that, it's only $4.99 a month to text with myself, to text with Kyle Monkey, and to text with Corey Woods. And not only are you going to get updates and analysis from us with some one-on-one individual conversations on the side, but you're going to be on the front line to be featured on MLive's Dungeon of Doom podcast when we come calling for mailbag questions. Once again, check out joinsubtext.com/Dungeon of Doom. 14-day free trial, $4.99 after that.
You know, we said we were going to talk about Michigan's season MVP. And I remember having this discussion last year, and this season, I think it's tougher than ever. I think it's worth kind of laying out at least the candidates. So I'll just go through a few quickly, and then you guys can, I guess I'll find out if I've missed someone that's, you know, on your list. But you got to have McCarthy, 10th in Heisman voting. Big Ten quarterback of the year. You know, the QB gets credits for wins sometimes for whatever reason. And he's got Michigan undefeated and number one, high completion percentage, great touchdown to interception ratio, all that. Blake Corum, 9th in the Heisman voting, Big Ten running back of the year, leads the nation in touchdowns. There is an offensive lineman you could look at, whether that be Zach Zinner or you know, Drake Nugent, if you think, you know, the drop off from center, you know, at his position would be bigger, and we can get into that, what MVP really means. And then there's a defensive side of the ball. I think Mikey Samristol is the name that stands out. 5 interceptions, 2 return for touchdowns. But, you know, if you want to go more, get a little closer to line of scrimmage with a linebacker like Mike Barrett or a defensive lineman like Chris Jenkins or Mason Graham, I don't know. You guys can tell me, but, I don't think I missed anyone that you guys were seriously considering, or did I?
Yeah, there's one name on my end, but I'll save him for a minute here. In a minute, when I think of MVP, and I think we go over this quite a bit, I feel like every year, but to me, MVP means the person who, if you were to remove them from the team, where would the biggest drop off happen? Right, where would Michigan falter the most? Where would they struggle the most? And to me, I look at a couple spots usually. You know, I'm not afraid of looking defensively, but when you look at this defensive unit, it's almost like a bunch of, it's almost like a puzzle piece, right? Like, where I don't think one missing piece would have made much of a difference. I think it's more the scheme. So I'm staying away from the defense side of the ball and staying in two specific positions on offense. First quarterback, the obvious choice probably for everyone, is JJ McCarthy. I think if Michigan didn't have him this year, I don't know if the offense would have been as productive and efficient as they were. The numbers by and large went up this year. They leaned on him more, passing game, his legs. I think his legs helped absorb some of the carries that maybe the running backs would have gotten in previous years. So he's probably my 1A. My 1B, and the player you didn't mention, is Roman Wilson. I think this passing game really took a step forward this year, and I think he was a big reason why. He caught some really, really nice passes. He's had a ton of touchdowns this year. He's essentially become JJ's kind of top weapon in the passing game. So I'm going to say JJ McCarthy, but Roman Wilson as a close follow.
That is interesting. I did kind of dive into Roman Wilson a little bit too to kind of see if maybe he could be the pick, but a lot of his numbers came earlier in the year against, I mean, he had three touchdowns in the first game against East Carolina. And since then, I mean, in the last four games, obviously he got hurt early in Maryland and left the game, but only one touchdown in that span, only had one catch in the Big Ten Championship against Iowa, 3 for 36 against Iowa or against Ohio State. I mean, that one 22-yard touchdown, obviously a big one, but I just feel like late in the year, he hasn't really done a whole lot. I mean, and then as far as McCarthy, it's just that Penn State game where he didn't throw a pass in the entire second half. It's just like in one of the biggest and maybe their toughest win of the season, right up there with Ohio State. He doesn't throw a pass and they kind of just run out the clock and they lean on their defense to kind of win that game. So that's, to me, I debate this. This definitely is not an easy question, but I'm like, I looked at Mike Sanders still, and I looked at what their defensive back room looked like before the season and just the game breaking plays that he has had this year. It's like, it's incredible to me to see his transformation. And I'm like, yeah, like who else is that? Do they have at nickel? Jaden McBurrows, who's hasn't really played much at all and was very unproven. So I get what you're saying with the quarterback. And I do think, yeah, the drop off would be significant with whoever would be in there besides McCarthy, but it's the most impactful and the steady throughout the season. I think it's gotta be Mike Sanders still, just because he's literally been there from game one and making plays and kind of being a leader of this defense in a secondary that had some question marks entering the year.
Well, I won't bury the lead here then. Mikey Sanders still is MLive's Michigan football MVP with two votes, because he gets mine too. Michigan is undefeated. They're number one in the country because of their defense. And I think that, yeah, I wanted to reward a player on that side of the ball, and he's the best. I like how we have different criteria, because mine is different from Aaron's. Mine is not remove that player and where's the drop off, because to me, that almost you're giving a player like McCarthy, and for example, credit for having, you know, weak backups. You know what I'm saying? I don't think, you know, one player's, you know, his worth, though, I get it. That word valuable has always been tricky. So to me, I look at it more of almost the MOP, the most outstanding player. That's what, you know, the Final Four in basketball is always called their top player. I've never understood, you know, where we got valuable from. You know, I think modern day we're getting away from having the player need to be on a good team and things like that. But I get it. The offense has also been good. It's not like they were winning games, you know, 13-10 or you know, 9-6 or something like that. This wasn't Iowa, but yeah, the biggest games were not exactly shootouts either. So the defense was there from start to finish, and that's why I lean on him. But McCarthy would get my second vote for sure, and I think there's a pretty big drop off after that. Corum, we know. I mean, he's got those gaudy touchdown numbers, but almost all of them came inside the five. The yards per carry just wasn't quite there. So that's why I like Sanders still as well as my MVP.
Sanders still would probably be three or four for me. So I don't hate it. It makes sense. He's been fantastic all season long. It's amazing to think how far he's coming. Remember, he was a receiver just a couple of years ago, and it was a bold move by Jim Harbaugh to move him over to the defensive side of the ball. And not only that, but make it work, because we've seen him try it before. Players move positions. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but to go from one side of the ball to the other, you know, it's pretty impressive. Now, look, he played some DB in high school, so he knew what he was doing, but to do it at this high of a level and as quickly as he did, I think was incredible. He deserves a lot of credit. So I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all.
I think just in a general sense that the depth of this team is a reason why they're, it's so tough to pick an MVP. I mean, there's not many teams that have a luxury of like offense or defense. You could choose three or four guys on maybe both sides of the ball who have been outstanding this year. And that's just how Michigan has built this team and why they've been so successful. It's like, oh yeah, you don't trust the passing game in one big game of the year. All right, lean on your running backs and your offensive line and your defense to go win a game on the road against a top 10 opponent. Like, there's not many teams that have that luxury.
Not at all. And if you look at the postseason awards that are coming out now, all Big Ten or national awards or all American stuff, you're seeing a couple of guys, but it's not like they're, you know, getting a ton of guys on these lists. And I think it's a testament to the depth and experience that this team has. And it's kind of the way it's been built, right? Like, They're not force feeding one guy. I mean, you can make the case, I guess, Blake in the red zone for touchdowns. But other than that, it's not like maybe like it was last year where Blake was averaging 20, 25 carries a game. So it's really spread out. You got a lot of guys kind of doing their job, so to speak. And it's one of the reasons why this team has had the success that they've had this year.
I mean, it is unbelievable. And, you know, one of our things before the season would who would be the leading receiver for this team. Now, by touchdowns, it's clearly Roman Wilson. He has 11. Colston Loveland is next with 4. And he also got it by yards, 662. But within, 100 of him are both Loveland and Johnson. And the catches are Loveland 40, Wilson 41, Johnson 42. I mean, that is unbelievable, that the balance of spreading it out. And we kind of know it's a similar a similar story defensively as far as sacks and tackles for loss and things like that. So I think if you asked several other people this question, you'd get several more answers too. And I think that's a good thing, and something that opposing coaches have pointed out throughout the season, that it's like what was that a couple of years ago where they were like the no star defense? This is like the opposite. They're all stars in a way. It makes it hard to single out exactly who the best one is.
It's kind of like that economic saying, right? All a rising tide lifts all boats. And that's kind of been the way, especially with this defense, right? Like the way that it's built, the way they play football and the way Jesse Minter's kind of called games, it's elevated the play of everyone. It's made almost all, and we've heard the players talk about it the last couple of months, and how all three levels of the defense are playing in synchromatic and like they're helping each other out. And, in some ways the middle linebackers have gotten lost. Yet if you look at the stat sheet, Junior Colston still leads a team of tackles. So it's been really impressive the way they've been able to build this thing. It's really come on the last couple of years. Credit to Mike McDonald and obviously him coming in 2 years ago and kind of laying the groundwork for this. But Michigan's really done a good job of building their defense into a behemoth where they're not necessarily relying on one player. It's the whole unit. It's the whole group. And they've been, they've won games because of it.
I'll be interested to hear what the players, say, this week or next, as they start to preview this game with Alabama. I don't know if you guys want to share something before we move on to other topics, but the more I look at Alabama, kind of the less worried I am for Michigan in this matchup. I mean, I know they've been playing better lately, but I still can't shake that, last minute win against a bad Auburn team, some of the struggles earlier in the year. And as much credit as they should get for handling Georgia, the 2-time defending champs in the SEC championship game to get to this spot. I still think that this is not the typical Alabama team, and Michigan once again has the edge at quarterback. And I'm liking Michigan's chances more even than when I initially saw the draw, I think, because there was that just initial reaction to it's not Florida State. It's not, you can't just pencil them into the national championship, but I do think they're the better team.
I think you're right for the most part. There's just, I mean, the Nick Saban with a month to prepare for an opponent with as much NFL talent, like this team still has a ton of NFL talent on it. Like that's been, they're still all former five-star recruits. So the talent is there. And the thing too, is just, I think the quarterback will be the best, most challenging quarterback that Michigan has faced all year. And it's going to be different. And then the one Talia Tagovailoa, he's probably the quarterback that gave Michigan the most trouble this year with his dual threat ability. So I think Alabama's defense is pretty legit. But I'm leaning towards picking Michigan, but I can see why it's basically a toss up, because I think with this much time to prepare and a coach like Saban, and the success they have had in the college football playoff too. I mean, yeah, this year is a different year, but like when they get to the semis, they almost, I think, typically always reach the national championship game. So that's Michigan. You also got to take into account they're 2 years in a row now they've fallen short. So I think I'm still excited for the matchup, and I haven't put any pen to paper on a prediction yet, but I do think it's going to be a very close game.
Yeah, I'm with both of you guys. I tend to think this is going to be a close game. I guess I lean Alabama right now, but I've got three weeks still to change my mind. I mean, the talent at edge rusher, the secondary, the quality of talent in the secondary, it probably rivals Penn State. And as we were just talking about earlier, Michigan didn't throw the ball a ton against Penn State, or at least to have success. So I question how Michigan's going to be able to move the football in Alabama. I do think they can slow Alabama, keep them off the scoreboard, you know, maybe field goals instead of touchdowns. But it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think it's one that maybe Michigan hasn't had to face all season long, at least from a defensive perspective. A lot of playmakers on the Alabama defense. I'm really curious to see how they hold up. You know, I spoke to Blake Corum over the weekend at his toy drive, and he kind of characterized this game, and maybe rightly so, as a boxing match where you got two heavyweights going up against one another. And at least that's how he views it right now. So it's going to be a fascinating matchup. Not only two big brands, but you got two teams that play kind of a similar style of football. And I'm curious to see, you know, how they hold up.
Yeah, no, and we've got, you know, like I said, several weeks to, you know, to build the excitement for what should be a great game. Let's move towards basketball. Both teams played yesterday, Sunday. The women went with a new starting lineup, the one I thought they'd use from the start of the season, actually, and it worked. They blew out Illinois in their Big Ten opener, got to 8-2 on the season. Their two losses are where they failed to score even 50 points. So when they've had major offensive issues, they have lost. If they've been even decent, you know, in that side of the ball, they've won. So yeah, that's where they stand, 8-2, with, you know, some more non-conference coming up before they get into Big Ten play for good.
What are they ranked right now? Are they ranked?
They were, so today, I didn't see if it was today's poll where they would have landed. They got in at 25 in last week's. But I didn't, I was, you know, traveling today. I'm not sure if they're still there, but yeah, kind of right on the edge there, which seems fair. The men, big win, you know, at Iowa. You know, they gave away a game at home, which you don't want to do in the Big Ten, but then they went and got one on the road. So now they're 1-1 in these two early Big Ten games, 5-5 overall, which seems very fitting for the way they've been playing within games and, you know, game to game, that they are exactly 500 so far. Juwan Howard has not yet returned to being the acting head coach. You know, during games, he's still sitting at times. Phil Martelli is standing throughout. And, you know, Martelli's the one who talks to us before and after games. And yeah, no change on Juwan's status. Shortly after last night's game, Twitter kind of blew up with reports about Juwan. They stemmed from a fake Twitter account, someone parodying a national reporter. You know, they have parody in their bio, but some veteran respected reporters kind of fell for it, thought it was real. The report stating that Juwan Howard was stepping down from his position as head coach effective immediately, with then more reports coming out with details about why, that he had, you know, struck, you know, had a physical altercation with longtime strength and conditioning coach John Sanderson. Even more details on that. Oh, it was over a disagreement about treatment for his son, Jace Howard, who's currently out with a knee injury. It turns out, while the initial stuff was made up, there may be some truth to it as far as some sort of disagreement between Howard and Sanderson. Sanderson usually is with the team, even on road games. He was not there last night. I reached out to him. He's usually a guy that responds pretty quickly. He has not responded at all. Michigan SID, Tom Weirott, did not respond at all to my message for a comment. Ward Manuel, through a spokesperson, gives a no comment, which at least is something. You know, other coaches, other staff members and parents of players, either nothing or they hadn't heard anything. In the case of parents, you know, all they knew is what they were seeing on Twitter, which tells you one of three things. I mean, they could be misleading me. Nothing happened, or something happened, but it wasn't a big enough deal that their son felt the need to tell them. So that's kind of where we stand on things. Jalen Rose, Juwan's good friend, posted that Juwan has not been suspended. He's not stepping down. And he hopes to be back on for Saturday's game, which is, you know, news to us. You know, as far as taking over that actual head coaching position, I think is what Jalen means, because Juwan's been on the bench for a while now. So we will find out maybe more on Saturday.
cue the one scene from Wolf of Wall Street where the one guy's like stands up and says, "I'm not bleeping leaving," and drops the mic. But yeah, what a, I mean, I saw this on Twitter today too. I'm like, I wonder how much sleep Ward Manuel has gotten over the past couple of months. It can't be a lot because it just seems like every week there's something going on, and this is just the latest development of what is going on inside Michigan athletics. And yeah, we'll see what happens, but boy, it's just crazy. They finally picked up a key road win, and then the narrative is an off the court issue that potentially happened.
I think the rumor mill was churning extra quickly because of, you know, Juwan's reputation and what he did 2 years ago to get himself suspended when he did strike an opposing coach in the postgame handshake line. So, like, I don't even want to say, like, oh, there's precedent for this behavior. This is who Juwan is. But, you know, people, I guess, want to believe the worst in people. And when they've seen it before, you know, it doesn't take as much imagination to get to that place. And, you know, the fact that Sanderson wasn't there only, you know, I guess only adds to that intrigue. Juwan was, like I said, he was on the bench. He was, you know, outside the locker room with the team afterwards. He looked incredibly calm and casual, had no interest in talking to us, but he was there. So again, we'll find out Saturday. They have a doubleheader with the women. Women play at 11 a.m. The men, you know, there's a little break before they play. I don't know if it's 2 or 2:30 or something like that. Miami of Ohio for the women, Eastern Michigan for the men. You know, is that when Juwan comes back? Maybe. Then they play the next week in Charlotte, that, you know, doubleheader two-night event where the women play as well. I'll be there for that. So I'll try to get some information. But as things stand right now, there's nothing official from the school. And yeah, his status with the team has not changed. But his status with the team is already a little bizarre. You've got a head coach acting as an assistant coach and an assistant coach acting as the head coach. And it's created a little awkwardness, to say the least, I think during games, but didn't matter Sunday. They scored a lot of points. It was the other team's head coach that got ejected and they win 90-80 to move to 1-1 in the Big Ten. Anything else you guys want to add about Michigan football or athletics in general or anything before we wrap up this episode? Plug a story you got coming, anything?
Signing day's coming up, so there'll be some recruiting previews and stuff like that coming up. And so I talked with coach of quarterback commit Jaden Davis and receiver Channing, not Tatum. I made that mistake in one of my stories a couple months ago. And Channing Goodwin of Michigan Legacy. So yeah, going to try and get as many recruiting previews and profiles before signing day. It's coming up quick. December 20th. So yeah, wow, 9 days from now. So yeah, right now Michigan's got 26 commits, added another one on over the weekend. I was on top of a mountain in a wedding, outdoor wedding in Colorado. So luckily Aaron was there to step up and write it. Flipped a 3-star defensive tackle, David Polipoli from originally from, he goes to school in California?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yes. All right, gotcha. But he was committed to USC. Obviously, Michigan had been interested in him for quite a while. Reportedly, actually gave Michigan a silent commitment back in the summertime before ended up choosing USC. And then, obviously, Michigan continued to push and was rewarded here just a couple weeks before signing day. So, fills a big need. And obviously, if you look at some of the other big nose tackle type of players that Michigan has landed. I mean, Kenneth Grant was another low 4-star, high 3-star type of guy. That's turned out to be pretty well. So they like these bigger nose tackle types that they can mold and kind of stuff in the middle. And we'll see if Michigan can kind of work its magic with another one.
I'll have a story too this week on Will Johnson. Was able to catch up with him over the weekend at Blake Corum's thing in Troy. So he sounded optimistic. He's going to be available to play for the bowl game. It sounded like he was a more precautionary deal sitting out the Big Ten championship game, as maybe some of us suspected with the leg injury. So caught up with him, probably a story Tuesday at MLive.com. And I just say, I don't know if any of our listeners were there, but showing up to Blake Corum's toy drive Saturday at Somerset Mall was incredible. I mean, they were literally, the line went across the entire mall. I was blown away. Even talking to Blake afterwards, he expected a big crowd, but someone told me 5,000 people, and they can only accommodate 500 people for photos. It was incredible. They said they raised almost two truckfuls of toys. Blake told us between 20,000 and 25,000. So it was, I mean, if you thought that the turkey thing he does every Thanksgiving is incredible, this just blew my mind.
Wow. Very impressive, young man, what he's doing, you know, off the field. I think, NIL makes a lot of this possible. Not that he couldn't have done, nothing was stopping him, I guess, from doing something like this, before, but it's just easier. And, you know, when he can be making money doing other things as well, it only adds to it. It's all, I think it's the side of NIL that people don't see enough, maybe, you know, when they talk about how it's ruining sports or these players are greedy or whatever it is. This is cool to see. So glad you were there to report on it. We'll have continued coverage of leading up to the Rose Bowl and on Juwan Howard's situation at MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.